Among the things that we have learned is that the church is the gate of heaven. God, through Jacob, in a vision, revealed that truth to us. No, you cannot get it more awesome than that. The church being the gate of heaven. And as we over the past many weeks look on different aspects of the church, when we ended last week, we ended on the fact that a man or a woman, if you are going to serve God, if you are going to pray to God, if you are going to give God worship, you must first become a son or a daughter of God, or a servant of God spiritually. You must be a part of God's household before you can offer him acceptable worship, acceptable service, acceptable praise, acceptable sacrifice. We brought up the passage of Acts 27, verse 23, last week, and 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 5. Just quickly run over those for us.
When he was 40 years.
That is first Acts 27, verse 23.
For there stood by me this night the angel of God.
Notice, Paul is relating an incident. He said, this night there stood by me, beside me, an angel of God. Notice what comes after.
Whose I am.
To whom I belong. Wait. Whose I am means that. To whom I belong.
And whom I serve.
It could not be the other way. Wait. The Apostle Paul said, whose I am and who I serve. You cannot put this here. You must first belong to God before you can give him service. That is no accident, the way it is worded. That order is in keeping with the way God deals with man. You have to give him yourself before you give him what is yours. Look now in the passage of 2 Corinthians.
And this they did.
And that is 8:5.
And this they did.
And this they did.
Not as we hoped.
Not as we hoped.
But first gave their own selves to the Lord.
But they first gave their own
selves to the Lord.
To the Lord.
And unto us by the will of God.
You see, you must first give yourself to God before you can give anything to him. Are we there? We ended there last week. When self is given, there is no problem in giving the other things. But notice this too. Without self-giving, there can be no genuine self-sacrifice. And here we have again, Romans 12:1, well-known passage. I beseech you, I beg you, Christian, to do what?
By the mercies of God, that he present your bodies a living sacrifice.
If this personal sacrifice is not given, everything else you give to God becomes unacceptable. I have been anxious to share with you the fact that Jacob is typically a servant. Or represent service, Jacob. That was in God's plan. Jacob represents service, our servant. And why I have held back from bringing Jacob up in one or two of the previous lessons on the church is because it means my going to some passages that will take up a little more time in my lesson than I want them to take. Passage like Genesis 29 and some verses there, passage like Genesis 31 and some verses there, passage like Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 12. These are some passages. Quite interesting, quite enlightening. May I? And the bottom line is, before Jacob commence his God-approved service at Paddan Aram, Jacob had to spend time house of God at Bethel. Brother Mitchell, I didn't get it. I'm not going to go into it because there are some things I want us to cover. But I repeat, Jacob, service at Paddan Aram. Wait, Brother Mitchell, isn't that when he went to his mother's relative and where he worked 7 years for the one wife and his father-in-law worked brain on him, deceive him, and him have to work 7 years for the one he loved? Isn't that the incident, Brother Mitchell? Isn't that At Paddan Aram? Yes. What probably we don't realize, all what happened at Paddan Aram when he was working for his father-in-law, working 14 years for the woman he loved, all of that service was God approved. But you know what? That could not be done with God's approval before Jacob encountered God at Bethel, encountered the house of God at Bethel. And then after encountering entering God and in a sense getting into the house of God at Bethel. It was after that that he could move on to Paddan Aram and give service, not before. And Mother Mitchell, just get into it now and then passage. Well, probably as time goes on, but I'm almost sure not in this lesson, because we want to move on to some important things. Remember, we are still on the church, which is the house of God, and it is the gate of heaven. Haven't I mentioned here so many times over the past few years, and so many times over the past many weeks, that the Almighty God has a way. In fact, it is God's method of dealing with man. That the Almighty God, in dealing with man from the beginning, the Almighty God method is to choose a person or a place or a thing. Yes, through which he limits himself or restrict himself. Now, I want to say a little on this too, because this principle where God has that from Genesis, from God began to deal with man, humanity. The Almighty God usually chose a person through whom he worked and in whom God limit himself. Or he chose a place. God may tell a person to meet me at this place. And if you don't meet God there, you are going to miss out on blessing. Or a thing. Huh? Moses' rod. So this has been God's method of dealing with man, choosing either a person or a place or a thing, and God usually limit or restrict himself in doing for that person or for that nation whatever needs to be done. God going to limit himself to that person, that place, or that thing. That means God not going to bless that nation, that man, that woman. God not going to do for you what he wants to do if you do not accept that person, that place, or that thing. Whenever you reject that person, that place, or that thing, it is as if you are rejecting the Almighty God. Christian, we need to learn this, because if you're a Christian with any form of conviction, you will be anxious to start sharing God's truth with others. And this principle is important. That thing, that person, that place becomes, in God's scheme of things, imperative, unavoidable, and inevitable. The Almighty God usually make it that there is no way around or over or under that person, place, or thing. From the beginning of God dealing with man, God has always chosen a person, a place, or a thing to which he limits or restricts himself in helping or guiding man. Wait. What we must realize is that when the Almighty God chooses a person, a place, or a thing, the Almighty God used that to test man's faith and obedience. Did you know that our faith and obedience are always under examination? Even as Christians, I repeat, our faith, our belief in God, in Jesus Christ, and our obedience, accepting and respecting and obeying what God said, that is always under test. Not only for the unbelievers, but for the Christian. Always our faith and our obedience. And mighty God, when God chooses a person, a place, or a thing that he restricts himself to, part of it is usually to test our faith and our obedience. There was an occasion when the Almighty God decided that he would limit himself to Moses. Are we all there? As his spokesperson. That is, in a special way. You need to get this. That is, whatever, when God has had special things that he wants to relate to the children of Israel. While in general, God would deal with Aaron and etc., but special things, God limits or restricts himself to Moses. Watch here now. Moses' brother and sister had an issue with their brother Moses. Moses go and marry a black woman. That's right. Well, Moses not good people. Okay? What has happened? Miriam and Aaron didn't like it. Are we all there? And with this chip on their shoulder, are we all there? They come down on Moses hard. Run to Numbers 12, verse 1. Following.
And Miriam.
And Aaron.
Spake against Moses. Because of the Ethiopian woman whom
because
he had married.
Of whom?
The Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman.
We all hear that. That's right. But God, I thought you had already told the Israelite that they must marry except Israelite. Well, we won't get into politics right now. Let's stay with the lesson. That's right. So he married an Ethiopian woman. And watch here now. And that's the way. When people have chip on their shoulder, have an axe to grind, they don't come to Moses with that, you know. Are we all there? They don't come to Moses with, we don't like that woman who you married. Of course, within the scope of God's will, Moses had the right to marry whomever he wants. That is within the scope of God's will. But Miriam and Aaron, you thought they would be more enlightened than that. They didn't come to Moses with what was really bothering them. Notice how they come to Moses now. Read, brother.
And they said, had the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses?
In other words, you think that you alone God has speak to? That's the way people, when a person have a chip on their shoulder, have an axe to grind, they don't come straight. And a lot of times you see through a person. And we must understand that sometimes people see through us the hypocrisy they talk about. They came to Moses as if Moses was acting like he's the only one God speak to. And Moses wasn't acting like that. Is only Moses God speaking to? Read on, brother.
And the Lord heard it.
God, of course God heard it. The Lord heard it. But why should God pay attention to something like that? Because it involves the Almighty God. That's the other thing we don't realize, you know. Are we all there? A lot of time we relate to the church. And we forget that the church is the body of Christ. Your attitude and disposition towards the church is the same attitude and disposition toward Jesus Christ. And a lot of times too many of us forget that. They had forgotten that while they were supposed to be servants of God, but Moses occupied that special place that God gave him. And God heard it. And God going to let them know, I have a dog in this fight. Let us hear it, brother.
Hath he not also spoken by us, and the Lord heard it? Now the man Moses was very meek.
Meek.
Above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses.
And meek here, remember, let us understand. The word meek, one of the illustrations I usually use to describe meek, is an animal that is domesticated. The animal is not wild and vicious anymore. The animal is approachable. As part of the concept in being meek. You see, so Moses was meek. He was approachable. Read.
And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses.
And God spake suddenly unto Moses.
And unto Aaron.
And unto Aaron.
And unto Miriam.
And you see, a blood ties, you know. That's right. Read.
Come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation.
No, you notice where God called them. Come to the church. That's right. Come, you three, come. I want to have a meeting with you. In another lesson, we are going to see that the church of Christ occupy the place of the tabernacle. In fact, the tabernacle was only a shadow of the church. That's right. One place there, God said, there will I meet with you. We are at the tabernacle. So God called them to the tabernacle, which represent the church. Read.
And they three came out.
All three of them. Remember, Moses and Aaron were brothers. And Miriam was their sister. That's right. Read.
And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud. and stood in the door of the tabernacle.
Uh-huh.
And called Aaron and Miriam.
Called Aaron and Miriam.
And they both
you
came
see, brother,
forth.
They are the one who had a chip on their shoulder and have an axe to grind. Talking about Moses act like only him, God's people. Moses wasn't acting like that. But they have a grouse. Because Moses did something that the man had a right to do, and they didn't like it. Read.
And he said, hear now my words.
God tell them, listen. My mother always said that, say that. Listen to me now. That's right. God says, hear my word.
If there be a prophet among you.
Listen this. If there be a prophet among you.
I, the Lord. Will make myself known unto him in a vision.
Okay, notice how God will speak to the ordinary prophet, if there is any among you Israelite. It's going to be in a
vision.
Vision.
And will speak unto him in a dream.
A dream.
My servant Moses is not so.
Wait. You see, why make a break here is that it's important that you understand what is going on here. Because what the Almighty God is about to show is that Moses is special. And I limit myself to Moses. And when I have certain things to say, I'm not going to say it to Moses in a vision or in a dream. That I will do with the ordinary prophets, not with Moses. How will God do it with Moses, brother?
With him will I speak mouth to mouth.
I love that. Oh my God, what a honor. When I speak to Moses, it will be mouth to mouth. It will be personal, so to speak.
Even apparently, and not in dark speeches.
That's right.
And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore,
wait, the similitude. Moses going to see me in effect. Or something representing me. That is special. This is what we mean when God limits himself to a particular person. The Almighty God is saying to Aaron and Miriam here that this is just to Moses. You, Miriam and Aaron, don't get involved in this. On one occasion, Jesus Christ told Peter to mind his own business. Because Peter was concerned that John was leaning on Christ. And there was a closeness between John. That's why he's called John the Beloved. The same one who wrote St. John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John and Revelation. Very close to Jesus Christ. In the book of John, we are told that he leaned on Jesus' breast. And on one occasion, Peter wanted to interfere with that. Christ have to tell him, suppose I want him to remain until I come back. After your business that? That's right. Read, brother.
Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?
Are we all there? Did you know that our mouth and our tongue going to play major part in how some of us end up in hell? Did you all know that? The Bible. Solomon dealt a lot with the evil of the mouth and the tongue. And then the New Testament. The New Testament call it a world of iniquity. Why then did you choose to speak against Moses?
And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them. And he departed.
Brother, many times God's anger is kindled against so many of us today in the church because of the way we use our mouth and our tongue. Are we all there? Are we all there? That's why it is called a world of iniquity. Read on.
And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle.
Mm-hmm.
And behold,
mm-hmm.
Miriam became leprous.
What?
Miriam became leprous.
Leprosy instantly hit Miriam.
White as snow.
White as snow.
And Aaron looked upon Miriam.
Uh-huh.
And behold, she was leprous.
Uh-huh.
And Aaron said unto Moses,
uh-huh.
Alas, my Lord,
uh-huh.
I beseech thee.
I beg you, they recognized. Aaron at least saw what happened to his sister and realized that if that leprosy is allowed, it's going to kill her. Went to Moses and,
alas, my Lord.
Alas, my Lord.
I beseech thee.
Uh-huh.
Lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly.
Wait. You must praise Aaron. Yes. Because one of the great things about dealing with God in the Christian dispensation, in the Old Testament dispensation, is for us to acknowledge when we sin. And that is progress. Always. When a brother or a sister sin and don't even recognize that they sin, don't want to acknowledge that they sin, that's terrible for the person. It matters not how much the church welcomes that brother or sister. If in the sight of God, that person doesn't acknowledge within him or herself that they have sinned. The church may welcome you a million times, but in the sight of God, you are still in sin. We must acknowledge that. So we must praise Aaron. We have sinned, both him and his sister. Read now.
Wherein we have done foolishly and wherein we have sinned.
Mm-hmm.
Let her not be as one dead.
You see, Aaron knew that the leprosy would kill her. And I'm begging you, Moses, take our case to God and pray for your sister. That's right. But wait. Let us not last lose our way. It's coming from where God had limited himself in a special way to Moses. Now, what you must do is to accept that and respect it. But let me just run through a few more cases before I start my lesson. The Almighty God commanded Noah to build an ark. Huh? That is a big boat. May I? The Almighty God going to limit himself or restrict himself to that boat in what way, Brother Mitchell? God going to limit or restrict himself to that boat for the salvation, for the safety of the then antediluvian world. That is the world in the time of Noah. God going to limit himself. God has made a decision out of his wisdom that if salvation going to come to this people at this time, it must be through this boat that I asked my servant Noah to build. And any man that going to be saved from the destruction pending, that man or woman must find him herself in this boat. God limits himself to that boat, called an ark. The Almighty God in that world is not going to save any man, any woman, any sheep, any cow, any cattle, except it is saved in that boat. You have it, brother, in chapter 6 of Genesis. I want to just run through some of these passages. Don't even worry, read them. But let us at least read this one. 11, chapter 6, 11 through 14.
The earth also was corrupt before God.
The earth also was corrupt before God.
And the earth was filled with violence.
And the earth was filled with violence.
And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt.
And God looked upon the earth and saw that it was corrupt.
For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth.
All flesh corrupted God's way upon the earth.
And God said unto Noah.
And God said to Noah.
The end of all flesh is come before me.
The end of all flesh is come before me.
For the earth is filled with violence.
For the earth is filled with violence. Wait. Ladies and gentlemen, we are learning here that the patience of God, even God's patience, has a limit. That's right. Christian must learn that. Read.
And behold, I will destroy them with the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Make thee an ark of gopher wood.
Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Now, ladies and gentlemen, remember what we are dealing with. Helping you to understand what it means when God limits himself to something. Be it a person, be it a place, or a thing. When God decided that he's not going to act to help you, save you, provide for you outside of that person, that place, or that thing. And God has been doing that since creation. We need to understand that so that we can share that truth with others. Remember, I can let you into a secret here. It's a big secret. You know where we are heading? We are heading to the church. That's right. That's where we are heading. This business of God limiting or restricting himself. That's right. So I'm just using these as illustration. And my point is that Christians need to learn these facts and truth so that in your effort to enlighten men and women out there who do not know, you will remember these truths. Because this principle flows from Genesis to Revelation. Mm-hmm. You are there in Genesis chapter 6. Build me an ark
of gopher wood.
God told Noah the very timber that he should use. Of gopher wood.
Rooms shall thou make in the ark.
You shall make room into it.
And shall pitch it.
You shall pitch it within and without with pitch. Read that.
And this is the fashion which thou shalt make
this
it
This is
up.
The fashion. Wait, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen. You notice that when the Almighty God wants something done, he usually gives specific. You must not let that truth pass you. Did you know that we were never allowed to just worship the way we like and the way we want? That's right. We were never meant to become Christian the way we like and the way we want. We were never meant to live the Christian life the way we like and the way we want. Wait. Yeah. Just run through the mind a while ago. Whenever you as a fellow Christian see a brother or a sister who have been absent from worship for weeks and months, and that person comes back, as a brother or a sister who understand, in many cases you understand more than the person, you have been in the church longer, you know more too, it shouldn't wait upon church leader to let that person know that many weeks and months away from worship, from the assembly, is a sin. You need to recommit yourself, ask God forgiveness, and get a second grip. But a lot of time people just, you don't see them for months and weeks, some of them for years, and they just come and merge back in. And we just, it's business as usual. You're not helping that person. You are reading?
And this is a fashion which thou shalt make it of.
This is the fashion. Not going to be left up to Moses in Noah's imagination. Read.
The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits. And the breadth of it 50 cubits. And the height of it 30 cubits.
Okay, brother. What verse is that?
That's 15.
How much?
Verse 15.
Step down to 17 following.
And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth.
Now, remember, we have just read where the Almighty God commanded that the ark be built. May I, that you do not forget. The point is that God going to limit himself to that ark. With all of God's might and power and wisdom and love and grace and mercy, all of that going to be shown through and in the ark. Brother Mitchell, run over that again. Rewind the tape. With all of the love God has, and with all of the mercy God, and the wisdom that God has, and the power that God has, it's going to be used through the ark.
Yeah.
That's right. So if you have some fool people around there, then they laugh at Moses. He can talk when he wants to talk. If there come a flood, me can build a boat just as good as that. You build one that look better than the one built by Noah, and it's going to sink. Because God made a divine decision to restrict himself to that one built by his command. So you're at verse 17 following, brother.
I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life.
All flesh that breathe, I'm going to destroy.
From under heaven.
That's right. And anyone that's going to be saved is going to be in that ark. Why, Brother Mitchell? Don't God has power to save? Yes, we are not talking about God's power. We are talking about the fact when God limits himself. God can do a million things, but he may choose to do just one. So don't put in your eyes and mind about what God can do. In this case, you must accept what God commands you to do. Get in there. But you know what first? You have to believe the preaching of the man, Noah. So faith, read that.
And everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant. And thou shalt come into the ark.
Where?
Into the ark.
Where?
Into the ark.
You see, that's where salvation is. I thought salvation is in God. His love, his grace, his power. Yes, but the Almighty God going to place it in the ark. That's what we mean when we talk about when God limits or restricts himself to something, he's not going to operate outside of that thing. Read, brother.
Thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee and of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shall thou bring into the ark.
Yeah, everybody hear that? Why? What's wrong with God? With all that power, why we have to be saving the ark? I don't even like how it looks and how it smells. You still will have to get in it. When God limits himself or restricts himself to something, there is no way under heaven God going to operate outside of that thing. Brother, run to chapter 7 and verse 22 and 23. You were in chapter all, 6.
All in whose nostrils was the breath of life.
Mm-hmm.
Of all that was in the dry land died.
You hear that? Everything that was on land, that breathed, died. Read.
And every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground.
Everybody get that? The very plant was destroyed.
Both man and cattle.
Uh-huh.
And the creeping things and the fowl of the heaven.
Uh-huh.
And they were destroyed from the earth.
Everybody get that? Read now. Read.
And Noah only remained alive.
Listen this.
And they that were... With him in
where?
The ark.
Where?
In the ark.
You see, brother, where God had restricted himself to the ark. That's the way God operates to this day. We don't have time to look on Moses' brass snake. That's right. Wait. A piece of stick plant in the ground, and you get a metal worker to shape a snake and put it. Yes. But my God, that give people reason to laugh at God. And to laugh at God's servant. You are telling me that when the poisonous snake bite me, if I don't look on that piece of snake Moses put out there in the middle of the camp, I'm going to die. Yes. It doesn't have anything to do so much with Moses. It has everything to do with God. God had limited himself. He commanded Moses to get a piece of stick, plant it, and get a metal worker and fix up the metal like a snake and put it there. When the Israel who sinned were bitten, all they needed to do was find themselves to Moses' brass snake and they look. Look. Did you know that that was pointing to Jesus Christ and the church? Did you know that the Bible says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believe on him? So way back there, when the Almighty God limited himself to the brass snake built by Moses, it was pointing out that God would limit himself one day to Jesus Christ and the body of Christ. What is that? The church. Should I also bring the River Jordan? I throw these out that you Christian will remember them. Why? God wants you to teach, to share his truth. And these things should be kept in mind. So, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, it's not only Moses and the brass snake. It's not only Noah and the ark. It's not only Moses being a special spokesperson for God. It is also the church. What do you mean, Brother Mitchell? In the same way the Almighty God restricted himself to Moses as his only spokesperson, in that special way, in the same way the Almighty God restricted and limit himself to the ark of Noah, that if he's going to save anybody, it is going to be in that ark and that ark alone. In the same way the Almighty God limit himself to the River Jordan, that if Naaman going to be cleansed of leprosy, Naaman must come to Jordan. Even though there were many rivers available then?
It is the same way the Almighty God limits himself to the church built by Jesus Christ. Same way. Same way. What you mean same way, Brother Mitchell? Same way in that Jesus Christ has limited himself, restricted himself. That all spiritual blessings that God is going to give to man, it is available only in Jesus Christ and the body of Jesus Christ. All spiritual blessings. What is spiritual blessing, Brother Mitchell? Time is up. So we'll have to pick up on that. But I want to repeat this. All spiritual blessing, ladies and gentlemen, physical blessing, material blessing is one thing. Money, that's physical or material blessings. Your education, physical material blessing. Your house and land, physical material blessing. Your husband, your wife, physical material blessing. Your children. Your job, all those are physical blessings. And I can go on and on. Your health, physical blessings, name it. Your visa, that's right. That's a physical blessing. But then you have some blessings that God, in fact, God provide the physical blessings of life for all people. You don't have to be a Christian. How do you know that, Brother Mitchell? Because Jesus Christ tells me that he sends the rain on the just and on the unjust. Yes, the rain is physical blessing. The sunshine that is so important for food and for health is physical blessing. But Brother Mitchell, the sunshine comes from God. Yes, but it is physical. All of that is physical blessing. And God gives that to me. Brother Mitchell, he doesn't give that to me. You know, I curse God sometimes. He's still going to give you the physical blessing. That's how gracious and good God is. I don't even think I believe in God, Brother Mitchell. He's still going to provide for you the physical things of life. That's right. That's right. He sends the rain both on the just and on the unjust. That is with physical blessings. Next week I'll mention some more physical blessings. But you know what? When it comes to spiritual blessing, that is limited and restricted. Spiritual blessings. That is not given to everybody. May I? Spiritual blessings are available only in Jesus Christ and the body of Christ. Come next week now that we'll learn more. We'll talk about the importance of the church. And how the Almighty God in this dispensation limits himself to Jesus Christ. And that's why the church is the body of Christ. That's how important it is. And God limits himself. If there are certain blessings. Wait, prayer is a spiritual blessing. To be able to go to God, speak to God in prayer, that can be done only when you are in Christ and his body, the church. You don't believe me? The Bible talks about, I'm just giving you a taste of some of the things. The Bible talks about that He raised us up to sit together with him where? In heavenly places. Brother Mitchell, but heaven not come yet? Well, let me tell you, a lot of it is right here, still here right now. We want to go into that, and we want to let you know that the Bible is going to make plain and simple at what point we begin to sit with Jesus Christ in the heavenly. The Bible is going to make that very plain. And that's where spiritual blessings are. You know why? Because the great, merciful, loving God limits himself to the church, the body of Christ. There is no way you or I can ignore the church and be a servant of God, give God acceptable worship, give God acceptable praise. There is no way that that is possible. Why? Because God has limited himself to the church. Next week, we get into that. Much to learn. Much to learn. You're going to learn. That is why that the very moment you are baptized, the Almighty God adds you to the church. The very moment you become a child of God, you have to be added to where he limits himself to. Right now, you have heard enough to become a Christian if you're here today and not a child of God. That the Almighty God had made a decision before the world was created. That he has a plan of salvation. He has a spiritual body that is called the church. It was not founded by Moses. In the time of Moses, the church of Christ did not exist. That's right. The church of Christ began after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. You know why? Because it takes the blood of Jesus Christ to purchase the church. That's right. And you learn this morning that God, at least we touch on it, in the same way God limits himself to the Ark of Noah, nobody could be saved in the antediluvian world outside of the Ark. Built by God's command. No man or woman today this side of the cross of Jesus Christ going to be saved outside of the church of Christ. No man or woman. Because that's the way God fixes it. Today you can come having heard. And if you believe that Jesus Christ died at Calvary for your sin. Today you can come, not only if you believe that, but if you repent. Because one of the pivotal principles in coming to Christ is to acknowledge that you are a sinner. We are all sinners. The Christians are people who have accepted Christ and therefore they are saved from their sin by Jesus Christ. You must come wanting to be saved. Knowing that only in Christ are you saved. You must come not only believing, repenting of your sin, you must come willing to confess faith in Christ. You must come willing to be immersed, to be baptized for the removal of your sin. We are going to stand now and sing a song. The song is sung to the glory and honor of Jesus' name, but it is also a good opportunity for you to step forward and give Christ your life. So as we stand and sing, we are reminding you that Jesus Christ is saying to you, today is the day of salvation. Don't harden your heart. For Christians who have grown weak, backslide, there is no better time to recommit your life to Christ than now. Why? Because he has given us now